Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 9. A couple weeks ago, we began talking about digital addiction. And we were using as the basis of our study the book of Isaiah. And I would like to continue that study with us this morning. I know all of us use digital things. All kinds of technology is just a tremendous help to us. And we're not in this lesson trying to conclude and say that if you have an iPhone or if you use a computer that you're going to be lost in hell forever and ever. That's not the point. The point of it has to do with addiction. And addiction, as we talked a little bit about last time, we're talking about digital devices and technologies of all sorts of things. But when we're talking about addiction, we're talking about a compulsive need for and use of a habit-forming substance like heroin or nicotine or alcohol, or an activity like gambling, pornography, or the internet. And when we stop to consider that kind of addiction, a digital addiction would simply be the compulsive need for and use of a habit-forming activity, the internet or computer, cell phone, video games, etc. And it might be that any number of us would simply say this: oh, yeah, I use the computer all the time. I'm on the internet all the time. I look at my cell phone all the time. I check my email, you know, Facebook, Twitter, you know, all these kinds of things. I'm not addicted. I can quit anytime I want. Well, I've heard a number of people from various addictions say that very thing. I'm not addicted. I can quit anytime I want to. Well, here's the key. Quit. And if you can't, you're addicted. As simple as that. Simple text. When we consider the idea of whether or not we have a digital addiction, you would feel compelled to check your phone, your play computer games throughout the day, and feel anxious, agitated, or depressed if you can't. Now, that's something to think about. There is a difference in having something that is useful, beneficial, and maybe we even use it as a part of our work, as opposed to using it, or rather the digital technology using us. That is, we have become addicted, and it's compulsive. We have to do it. And if not, we're agitated about it. Well, you know, digital addiction can be deadly. When you first get an iPhone, and when I first got an iPhone, the fact that you could text, you could email, you could check the internet, I mean, you just catch yourself looking at it all the time, you know, especially when you're driving down the road. Isn't it a great temptation, especially if you're on a trip? Yeah, you know, you're miles and miles going down the road, you know, just bumping. And, you know, you're thinking, I wonder if somebody has emailed me or somebody just texted me. You want to grab it and you're going down the highway 70 miles an hour and you take a look at it, right? Well, that can be a problem, can it not? I mean, if you'll just pay attention to when you're driving, how many people pass you, and how many people you pass, and they may be swerving, they may be going too slow, they may be bumper to bumper with you, they're looking at their cell phone. They're looking at their cell phone. How many accidents have happened already in the last few years? People were texting and driving. Why would you text and drive? Because we just have to. We can't stand not reading it, answering it. Well, when we stop to think about this for a moment, can a digital addiction affect us spiritually? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart never again be interrupted by the ringing of a cell phone. Well, in quoting there from the book of Psalms, that last part is not exactly in the text. But the reality of quoting there from Psalms 19 and verse 14 is that how many times has a cell phone gone off during worship service? We even have in our scrolling announcements, you know, please check your cell phones, put them on silent or turn them off or something other. Probably all of us have made that mistake. Have you been right in the middle of a worship service and then thought, oh, I didn't silence my phone? And then you grab it, you know, and you look at it and well, since I've already got it, I might as well check my email. Might as well check Facebook and, you know, tweet out something. This is a boring sermon. You know, we do that. We do that. And when we think about the idea of what the Bible teaches, let's just look briefly at a passage that I at least want to show you there is a rhyme and a reason to all of this, that we're discussing this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, notice verse 12. The text says, So also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. Now that's one time. It's used in this chapter, seek for the edification of the church, building up of the church. Now notice verse 26. 26 says, what is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Now verse 40. But let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner. One of the things that elders are responsible for is to make sure that when the congregation assembles, that things are orderly, that it's edifying, it's encouraging, and to have the proper number of songs, a proper number of prayers, and the things of giving and eating the Lord's Supper and the sermon and so forth. All of that has to fit together for edification. Well, we're right in the midst of all of this. If we're worshiping God and we're serving God, and all of a sudden a cell phone rings. You know, and there's been times where elderly folks who have cell phones and they need to have some means of contact or if they fall down to contact someone else and their cell phone goes off during worship, but they're of age that they don't even hear it and it's sitting there going off and off and, you know, on and on and on and on. And remember one particular older folk said after services that, didn't you hear your cell phone going off? She said, yeah, I heard it. Why didn't you? Well, she said, I thought someone had the same ringtone that I had. I thought it was somebody else. Well, that's an accident. That's not intentional. Things like that happen. But what does it do to the worship service? There's no denying that it disrupts. There's no denying that whatever train of thought is going, that there's a pause for a moment because we're all hearing the phone and we all look around and wonder whose it is and saying in our minds after it rings about four times, well, why aren't they answering that? Why aren't they turning that off? Why aren't they, you know, it happens. But the point is that many times things happen when they really don't need to happen. For instance, I think that it can affect us spiritually when we're sitting in worship services and we're looking at our digital technology. Whether it's our iPad or our iPhone of some sort, and we're doing something maybe we shouldn't be doing. You know, texting and checking our email, Facebook, etc. during worship services is not acceptable. It's not acceptable. And it might be that we have some medical people here. And my guess is, where's Brad? Brad, do you keep your cell phone on in case of an emergency or something other kind of thing? You do that. Some of you ladies over here probably do the same kind of thing. We got three ladies that are maybe do that as well, that are in the medical profession. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't do that. And if something goes off and it buzzes or whatever, that they need to do something. That's what that digital technology is for. That's different than in the worship services, taking your digital technology and you're not paying attention to worship and you're looking at Facebook or tweeting or texting somebody. Okay? There have been occasions when later you can look on Facebook, for instance, this is an example, and you can see members of the church that texted or put into Facebook, posted on Facebook, and you look at the time setting, and it was during worship services. Now, why would we do that? Using a smartphone or iPad for our Bibles may be too tempting. I'm not against iPads. I'm not against iPhones. I'm not against digital technology for Bibles and so forth. They are very handy. We have Wi-Fi here. People are always asking, what's the Wi-Fi code and so forth, so they can use that. Nothing wrong with that. But here's the deal. If you do have an addiction that you're sitting here and everyone goes through a period of, okay, I'm listening, I'm in tune, then all of a sudden we shut down, we're bored, so I've got my iPad, check my email. Nobody will know. All right? Well, here's the thing that's important. Even if we're using some digital technology and we're looking at our Bible, are we really looking at our Bible? Or is it too tempting for us to start doing something else? I think I told you this the last lesson that we discussed about a little girl that came up and she basically threw her dad underneath the bus by saying that, just wanted you to know that my dad was playing Angry Birds during your sermon. Okay. It may have been that he thought that everyone would be thinking that he is reading along in his digital Bible here, but he's playing Angry Birds. Now, if you cannot bring a digital technology to the worship service and you're just too tempted to do something else rather than worship God, then maybe what you ought to do is leave your digital technology at home or keep it turned off. Worship must be in spirit and truth. I don't know of anywhere in the Scriptures where I could argue and say if you have a digital Bible that's wrong. But if it's leading you and tempting you to where you cannot worship God, then you need to get rid of the source of the temptation. When we stop to think about that, it might be best just to not have the digital technology with you in worship. If it is a distraction to you, if it is a distraction to other people. In fact, it may be that you just need to get you a real Bible. Now, I don't mean that a digital Bible is not our real Word of God. I'm saying real as in this, something to hold. I can't check my email on this. I can't search the internet on this. And I've known of brethren who have said similar kinds of things that they're hearing the teacher, they're hearing the preacher, and they have their digital technology, and something comes up in their mind that they want to research, and they go on the internet, and here they are researching something while the class is going on or the worship is going on, and then they get online and they're looking, and it's legitimate, they're actually looking for something, but they're distracted from doing something other than continuing in the worship and participating from the heart, and they're all somewhere else, out there in the digital world somewhere. We do need to pay attention. We need to pay attention for our own soul's sake. We need to pay attention for our own example's sake. And I'm sorry that it's going to wind up happening. Now people are going to feel embarrassed or a little bit worried that if they now, after this lesson, you have an iPad and you're sitting there looking at it, you're going to be probably very conscious of the fact that, well, everybody thinks I'm looking at the internet or playing Angry Birds or something. And you know, I don't mean that. I didn't intend for that to happen. But it's probably going to happen. Our influence in what we say to others and how we affect others, it is very, very important. Can a digital technology affect our family? Yes, it can. And how might it do that? Here is family night, family time. We call it quality time. You see what everybody's doing? They're doing their own thing on digital technology. One of the things that even worldly, secular psychologists are saying about our digital technology world is that there's becoming less and less and less and less and less personal contact, even in families, let alone people outside of our families. There are many people that cannot carry on a conversation personally, one-on-one with each other, but you give them a computer or texting or Twitter or something other, and they can type it in and do just fine. Now, there's going to be more data with that in the coming years. But reality of it is, brethren, please, please don't take the precious time that you have with one another as a family. And each one of you, not even talking to one another, but looking at your own computers and are off in a different world by yourself. That's not family time. And that can be very destructive, whether there's any scientific data or not. Parents have an awesome responsibility to their children. And even now, we're so busy, we're so tired, we're so frustrated, that if we can just get our kids to shut up and go to their room and be quiet, we don't care what they're doing as long as they're in their room quiet. That's what lots of families do now. Just go to your room. And your child closes the door and you don't know what they're doing. You don't know who they're talking to. You don't know what they're looking at. Digital technology can easily take over and destroy a family. And again, I'm not saying that if your child has a computer that they're going to be lost. I'm not saying that if your child has an iPhone, they can't go to heaven. It's not what we're saying at all. But even good things, even good tools, can be used and become bad. There's not enough time that we actually spend with our children actually talking to them one-on-one. The precious time that you have with your children at home, it will soon come to an end. There's a couple of our ladies, sisters here, that have just turned 40. Now, I won't tell you their names, but they're Amy and Julie. You know, their world may be just coming apart because they're 40. And for all us old geezers, we're thinking about, oh man, to be 40 again. Well, that would be awesome. But back in the day when we turned 40, we thought life was over. But you know what happens to all of us? For ourselves personally, time sneaks up on us, doesn't it? Time doesn't wait on anybody. And you turn around a couple times, and you'll be 40, and then 50, and then 60. But if you're a parent, your children's ages is exponentially crazy. They age so quickly. And if you spend too much time working, you spend too much time playing, and you're not with your children, actually talking to your children, communicating with your children, teaching your children the Word of God, and you're just on the internet all the time, or they're in their room with the door closed and you don't know what's going on, you're making a grave mistake. Husband loving his wife means a lot more than taking her out to dinner. See this couple? You know how, you know what's really rude? Not just the husband, wife, parent, child. But we do this when we're together as Christians. These silly phones, it doesn't matter who calls, at what time, we will answer that and disrupt whatever we're doing. Now you tell me that's not an addiction. Very rarely does our phone ring or we get a text or our thing goes off and it's an email that we don't feel like, I've done it myself many times, that we feel like we need to answer that. We need to deal with that. And it's more important than what's going on right now amongst us. I'm serious. The digital technology is changing even our behavior in regards to what is polite and what is right and what is rude with each other when we're together. That happens. If a wife doesn't pay attention to her husband, he might be tempted to find someone that will. Ladies, if you're always on the phone, you're always talking to your friends, you're always tweeting, you're always Facebooking, and you're not paying attention to your husband, he'll find somebody that will listen to him. Consider this. This is a commercial. When families together at home or at grandma's, leave digital devices off. I think that's a great rule. But I'll tell you what. I'm guessing that for most of us, under these circumstances, when we all get together, if we said that, there would be a riot in our home. Kids would go berserk. They would have to actually sit down and talk and communicate with grandma and grandpa and so forth, as opposed to playing video games or talking on the phone or tweeting or something. Do you understand? I know that many of us have felt that. It's taking over. Maybe we will learn something from this that I'm sure most of us have seen on social media. What if we began to treat our Bibles the way we treat our cell phones? What if we carried it with us everywhere, turned back to get it if we forgot it, checked it for messages throughout the day, used it in case of an emergency, spent an hour or more using it each day? Been there, done that, guilty. And again, some of us, some of you, I mean, your business, your job, you're dependent on that. I'm not saying that's wrong. But many of these things have taken the place of our sincere dedication and devotion to God. When you have the urge to look at a digital device, pray instead for others, your blessings, and yourself. I did that for a long time. I just kind of made it my thought when I'd be traveling, and travel quite a bit. And the first thing I do when I get in my vehicle, for me, if I'm by myself especially, is turn on Rick and Bubba or talk radio or listen to music. And nothing wrong with any of those things necessarily. But maybe we can make up a little bit more, make our time a little bit more useful. Rather than do that, why not take the time to do more praying? When you look at your device, pick up your Bible and read it instead. And maybe we would say something like this: well, I wouldn't have time to do that. We have time to look at our phone. You don't have to read three chapters when you open your Bible every time. You could read three verses. When traveling in the car, as I mentioned a moment ago, maybe we could pray together, listen to a sermon, listen to the Bible read. Digital technology can be good and used for good. But just think of the minutes the hours, the days, the weeks that add up, that we use this digital technology, and what have we accomplished? Nothing. Enough said, right? Got to have reading material in the bathroom, right? I must say for myself, if I'm going to go to the bathroom, well, I got to find my phone. It's a good time to use your phone. Are we addicted to digital technology? Watch where you're going. I was in Florence. My wife was shopping a little bit. I was sitting in the car, and guess what I was doing? Looking at my cell phone. I'm looking at my cell phone. My wife comes out of the store. She gets in the car. I put the car in reverse, going to back out, and I look. I did look. Didn't see anybody. I backed up just a little bit more, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and just almost miraculously, there appeared a woman behind my car. Slam on the brake, you know. Didn't want to run over anybody today. And makes you have a bad day when you run over people. Stopped the car. And I looked, and I thought, you know, your heart already just jumps out of your body when that happens. And you look around, and this girl, she's walking down the middle of the road here in this parking area. And she's got her cell phone, and she's walking like this. She's not looking where she's going, where she's been, who's doing what, where, whatever. Well, I should be looking for her. I didn't see her. Then I saw her. Then I stopped. But I could have run plumb over her and she wouldn't have noted. Because she wasn't paying attention either. Well, it upset me so much. When she walked on around, I rolled down the window and I said, "You need to pay attention." I said, "I almost run over you." And she, very condescending, looked away from the screen for just a few seconds to say, "Pedestrians have the right of way." And she kept looking at her phone and just kept on walking. I didn't do that. Well, she was right. Pedestrians have the right of way. But I tell you what, if she's my daughter, and she was young enough to be my daughter, and I saw my daughter walking down the middle of the road looking at her phone and not paying attention to what's going around, that can get you killed. There must be something really important happening on that phone. Man, something really important that we would risk our lives. Would you call that an addiction? Maybe we just call it, and this word is used in the Bible many times in the book of Proverbs, ladies and gentlemen, and moms and dads, teach your children when it's appropriate, when it's not appropriate. Now back to the comment. That's stupid. That's just stupid. It's foolish. Digital addiction. Another lesson I want to present the next time, I want to talk more specifically about social media. Some do's and don'ts. You think, well, Brother Slee, why are you talking about... Because those kinds of things have become major issues in all of our lives. Just about everyone you know of has a cell phone, has the internet capability of a smartphone, and therefore have joined some kind of social media, from Twitter to whatever, and they're posting pictures, they're making comments, They're reposting and sharing things. We need to talk about it. So we'll talk about that next time. Thank you for listening this morning. Well, something that is very important to us as Christians is going to heaven. And that's why we're here today, to go to heaven. We want to go to heaven. And the things we talk about, the things we study about, the things we pray about, to encourage each other, is to help us to be able to get to heaven. Digital technology, while an awesome tool, is useful in so many ways, and even in proclaiming the gospel, might keep us from heaven. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become a Christian, to believe in Jesus with all of your heart, to repent of your sins, to turn away from them, to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, to be baptized, to have your sins washed away, and to live your life as best you can, the rest of your life, serving Him. But wouldn't it be a shame that we allow something that's good in and of itself to in some way afflict us in such a way that we become addicted to it? I think all of us understand addiction to gambling or alcohol or drugs. But any addiction that draws you away from service to God sincerely and faithfully can cause you to lose your soul. So think about it seriously. Think about your own self. If we can help any of you be obedient to Christ, we want to help you today. What a blessing the last few weeks. Three precious souls obeyed the gospel. It's a wonderful thing. There are others, I'm sure, that need to do that today. But there might be those in the audience today that need to more seriously look at their own lives personally, where you are in service to God. Are you sincerely serving Him from your whole heart? We hope that you are. If you need help, you need encouragement, you need the prayers of the church here, we'll help you any way we can. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
There's a stranger at the door.